Ding. Oh, okay. So this morning I want to talk to you about the mold-breaking anointing. Some of you are going to look at that and say, did you spell mold wrong? No. There are two different types of mold. Moldy cheese and a mold that forms things. We're going to talk this morning about the mold-breaking anointing. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles. I love that. To 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 6 and 7. And it says this, "So it was, when they came, that he looked at Eliab and he said, 'Surely the Lord's anointed is before him.' But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" Skip down with me to verse 11. "And Samuel said to Jesse, 'Are all the young men here?' Then he said, 'There remains yet the youngest, and there he is, keeping the sheep.' And Samuel said to Jesse, 'Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here.' So he sent and he brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, 'Arise, anoint him, for this is the one.'" God, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you right now, Father God, that you have handcrafted this word for this hour, for these people, God, for my heart. God, I just pray right now, God, that you hide me behind the blood, God, and you speak clearly so that we can hear you. God, that your word pierces every heart, God, that we not leave here the same way that we came in. God, and we will give you all glory, God. We give you all honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Throw verses 6 and 7 back up there for a second for me. Saul had been king. And God said to Samuel, "I want you to anoint a new king." I'm giving you a synopsis. This is not word for word. So when you look it up and you say, "Well, that's not exactly how she said it," this is a synopsis. This is an overview. Go to the house of Jesse and I'm going to show you who it is. And so he went to the house and he saw Eliab. I think that's how you say it, Eliab. Jesse's oldest son. And as he passed before him, he looked at him. Dude, that has got to be him. Because back in chapter 10, when he anointed King Saul, God spoke to Samuel and he said, "Look at him. He's tall. He's dark. He's handsome. He looks like a king. The people were going to accept him because he looked like a king." And then we go on and it gets to this point. And so he sees him and he said, "Well, God, this is the same way that you did it the last time. So this has got to be it." How many of us all know that there are times in our lives where we look and say, "Well, God, that's the same way that you did it the last time. So this has got to be it." I'll tell you what, God doesn't change. But when he moves, I don't think he's very repetitive either. I love the stories of Azusa Street. They're my favorite. I love hearing about Amy Simple McPherson, Smith Wigglesworth. Those are some of my favorite. My favorite, hands down, Catherine Kuhlman. My favorite. I love hearing the stories of what God did in them and through them. Now, I don't know if y'all notice, I'm no Catherine Kuhlman. Number one, my bell sleeves aren't there. And I'm barefoot. But she would take the stage and she would announce to the crowd, "I believe," I love her, "I believe in miracles," she would say as she lifted her hands with her bell sleeves down to her feet. And God would move in the miraculous in her. Amy Simple McPherson would take a chair and she'd stand in the middle of the sidewalk and she would yell at the top of her lungs. Everybody would follow her into the building. This is no joke. Look it up. They'd follow her into the building and her guys would lock the doors behind her. Nobody was getting out. They were going to hear the gospel that day. Miracles and signs and wonders followed them. Smith Wigglesworth is one of the only ones that I know of that's recorded that when he would walk by people, they would be healed. Does that sound like anybody to you? Like Peter, maybe? I don't walk in the anointing of Smith Wigglesworth. I don't walk in the anointing of Amy Simple McPherson, and I don't walk in the anointing of Catherine Kuhlman, but I do walk in the anointing of the one who sent me, and I do walk in the under the anointing as Anna Harris. You're not called to walk in the anointing as somebody else. That's a side note. Hold on to that because you're going to need it later. So Samuel looked and he said, that's got to be it. That's got to be him. But the next verse, God says, nice try, bud. Not him. I've rejected him. And he said this exactly. Do not look at his appearance or physical stature. I have refused him. One translation literally says, I've rejected him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. He looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. He already knew the heart of the man. And he said, that's not the heart of a king. And then we move on, and he goes through every single son. And yet there was one that was discounted. Out in a field, stunk like the sheep. The Bible says that he was ruddy. I pulled it up. I've heard a couple things about what ruddy could have meant. And ruddy actually literally translates as this: reddish in hair or complexion. And I bet to guess it was both. Because I'm a natural redhead. And if I stand in the sun too long, I get a little toasted. So if the dude had red hair and he'd been in the sun tending to the sheep, I bet you he was sunburned. But he was good-looking sunburned. I won't make you sick and tell you that it sounds like my husband. Red-headed and sunburned. Good-looking and bright in the eyes. Not anything that a king should look like. Nothing at all. My teenagers are looking at me going, we've already heard this morning. Suck it up, buttercup. You're going to hear it again until it gets to your head. He didn't look like a king. He didn't smell like a king. God knows he didn't smell like it. Have you ever smelled a sheep? They are pretty to look at from way back there. You get up close to those things and, oh, buddy, they stink. Or you drive past a sheep truck where they're getting ready to go be sheared. Or worse, that I'm not going to talk about. Because it makes me sad. You get near a truck and you're like, whoa. Is that a pig truck? No, that's sheep. Sheep smell worse than pigs, guys. Pigs, they get in the mud, they can wash off, and they stink a little bit. But sheep have hair, and the stink is stuck in their hair. This dude was hanging out with sheep all day long, had a sunburn, and his brother's like, there's no way. He wasn't even invited to dinner. Now, if the prophet showed up at my house, all my children are going to be present. Laura, you have 5011 kids. If a prophet showed up at your house to have dinner, you're going to make sure that all your kids are present. David wasn't even good enough to be invited to dinner for the prophet. They just stuck him out in the field, and he said, look, he's attending the sheep. Now, I wasn't there, so I can't say this, but to me it sounds like he was saying, him? He's over there. Really? And he said, bring him to me, because we're not sitting down until he comes. God said, yeah, you've been on the backfield for a while. And you stink a lot. You don't look like a king. You don't fit in a box. You're nothing like Saul. But I've called you. I've anointed you. That's the one. Samuel called him to him. He anointed him as king. And they sat down. We've all had these, I talked to the teenagers this morning, we all have these preconceived ideas of what it's supposed to look like. We've been talking and throwing around anointing, the word anointing, like confetti, for about 2 months. I talked to the teenagers this morning. I said, y'all even know what that means? And they looked at me like this. And I said, hello? Do you know what that means? And they still looked at, no one's there? Good morning. And so finally I got a head shake. No, they have no clue. And so I began to explain to them that anointing literally means to be poured on or rubbed upon by the Spirit of God. That's exactly what it is. And so a lot of times we have this preconceived idea that to be anointed, you have to look or breathe or smell or dance or sing or whatever in a certain way. We have this idea that a pastor's supposed to look a certain way. We've heard a pastor share stories where somebody freaked out because he was barefoot at his own house. Or we've heard of pastors who mow the grass with a suit and a tie because they have to fit in this certain box. And because they're a pastor. And you have to be weird because you have the gift of prophecy. Now you are weird. I'm weird. It's okay. That's okay. But there is also a persona that all people who have the gift of prophecy are going to be kooky for Cocoa Puffs. I'll tell you what, I've met kookier than Ann. I love you. I've met kookier. And they think that just because that God's called them to be that, that they have to be kookier. And you don't. You don't have to be that way. I've met people who think that I'm called to be a pastor, so I have to be a certain way and talk a Father God. They have to talk that way. Listen, you don't have, especially in a certain arena, they think they have at a certain after every time that they talk, and they get this bounce. I naturally do that. When I start doing that, y'all don't laugh. Don't laugh at me. But they think that they have to fit this certain thing, this mold, this box, that if they don't sound that way, if they don't dress that way, in the African-American community, if they don't have a lime green suit, they're not anointed. If they don't walk around with a towel, they're not anointed. I have a friend who, when we first met him so many years ago, that he literally, his favorite preacher of all time was Damon Thompson. Do you guys know who Damon Thompson is? You may not. He came from Church of God World, but he was the pastor over a place called The Ramp in Hamilton, Alabama. And he only wore Dickies. I think Dickies look like scrubs. But that's all he ever wore was Dickies and a button-down shirt. And our friend, literally, all he would buy was Dickies, because he wanted to be like Damon. What? Because obviously you're more anointed if you had Dickies. And if you're watching, I love you, and you know I love you. You know who you are. He's not like that anymore. God's broken that. Yeah, huh? There are people that I know, and Sarah, this has nothing to do with you, but they will preach with a tallit. Because they think that if I preach with a tallit, I'm more anointed. Now, there are those who God has spoken to that you preach with your covering. I ain't talking about them people. I'm talking about the people who are walking around with something covering them because if they don't have it, they're not spiritual enough. I'm sorry, the last time I checked that if I needed to and I had no oil, I could bless this and I could pour it over somebody like anointing. There's no box, y'all. And some of us have been walking around with this preconceived ideas as we've been throwing around anointing like confetti that I can't walk in that anointing because I don't look, smell, act, think, dress like any of that. I can't speak because I'm not outgoing. I can't lead worship because I'm not confident enough. I don't know if y'all have noticed, but I am not Jen Johnson. She's the lead worshiper for Bethel. I'll help you out. I'm not Kim Walker. I'm definitely not Misty Edwards, even though I really want to do my hair like that. She has dreadlocks, and they're always in a cool-looking bun. Don't look at me like that. Y'all already knew I'm weird. I'm not any of those people. I'm not Darlene Check. Sorry. Because I wasn't anointed or called to be them. And I'm here this morning to tell you that you're not anointed or called to be anybody else. Amen. You're called to be you. So this is what I want to talk about this morning. You think about some stereotypes. Piano players. When a baby's born, why do people look at their hands? Obviously, you know, you're counting all the things. But they look at their hands and they fold those little things out and they say, oh, they have piano fingers. Or he's got hands like a basketball player. We already labeled them. We don't know what they're called to be or do. You already done labeled them because of what they look like, because of the structure of their hand. Or a basketball player. He's tall. Do you play basketball? Ask Michael. He's tall. He's not athletic at all. At all. Not even a little. He'll tell you now, he can't even play basketball goofing off. He can't even walk straight, his mom said. But he's tall, so people are going to assume, you play basketball. Or the color of their skin. You play basketball. Corey, can you play basketball, buddy? No. Don't ask him. I asked him for you. He don't play basketball. Or they're big. Give me a big guy. Stand up for me, Harold. What? Hey.
You.
Howard. Why'd I call you Harold? Howard, stand up for me. A big dude. You're a linebacker. Howard's not a linebacker. Howard's standing in the back of the line for the Chitlins. I got you. Not a linebacker, y'all. Or the youth pastor. We have a funny joke in my family. You can tell the youth pastor in the room by the plaid shirt. If you don't wear the plaid shirt, you're not a youth pastor. My husband has more plaid shirts in that closet than I think I have anything that's black. Y'all, I wear black a lot, and he has a lot of plaid shirts. You're told that you have to look a certain way. A piano player has long fingers. Nope. They can read music. Nope. And there's all of these things that we try to fit into trying to be who God made us. And because we can't fit into that, we're discounted. We're not supposed to be like that. There are those who are in this very room right now that have been counted out because you didn't look the part. I'll raise my hand. As Sarah calls me, that girl with the pink hair, it ain't pink right now, but it's going back. That girl with the pink hair, barefooted, loud. I don't fit the traditional youth pastor's wife mold. We've talked about this all the time. I don't fit that mold. So I'll just share my story since, you know, y'all probably don't want me up in your business. I don't fit a mold. I'm barefoot. Can't sing with shoes on. I've tried. It doesn't work. I'm loud. I don't sit in the background. I'm not sweet and gentle. I don't have a voice that says, oh, sweetheart, it's okay. Baby, I think you should pull your shirt up. Nope. That's not me. That's not who God made me to be. Does that not mean that I can't walk in a spirit of gentleness? Absolutely not. And so don't you dare think that this is an excuse to stay stubborn and mean. It's not. God called you to live and walk in the fruit of the Spirit, but he didn't call and tell you that you have to stop being who he created you to be. And because of those things, a lot of times we've been discounted either by other people or by ourselves. I have literally said the words, and you've heard me say them. People who are closest to me have heard me say it over and over again. I'm no Kim Walker. Kim Walker is one of my favorite worship leaders. Jesus culture. I'm no Kim Walker. And I say it all the time. Why? Because to me, that's what a worship leader should look and sound and feel like. Nope. Not it. I'm an Anna Harris. Y'all figure out what that is. Let me know. That's you? He said, that's me. And because of that, there have been times where God has told me to do something, either through somebody else or just through speaking to me directly. And because I didn't look the part, sound the part, feel the part, I didn't do it because I was discounted. You're like three slides ahead of me. I like that slide, though. Stop making excuses. And so you find yourself left in the field where the sheep are. There were people who literally in my husband's ministry looked at him and said, you're never going to be a pastor. You will never preach. You don't know how to preach. Literally, people who were key in his ministry and to build him up, and they looked at him and said, you will never preach the word. I think you are wrong. They've looked at him and said, you'll never be a youth pastor. I think you was wrong. Because they left him in the field and pursued others who looked the part but didn't have the heart. You can look the part all day long and not have the heart. It doesn't matter how much you try to make yourself fit into the box of this or that. If God's not put you in it and he's not anointed you for it, you're not it, baby. Sorry about your luck. Sorry about your life. But you've been left in the field. In 1 Samuel 17, 38 through 40, we find David again. And David's already been anointed king. He's not walking in it yet. Y'all, some of y'all have been anointed for something. He ain't walking in it yet because it ain't time. And you have yet to realize who you are. Be careful that you don't leave yourself in the field. God's anointed you and he's called you. Don't leave yourself in the field because you think you can't do it. Who are you above God? Who do you think you are telling God that you can't? Who do you think you are telling God that what he said over you wasn't good enough? Who do you think you are? Are you greater than him? Try to walk around and say, that's my humbleness. That's not your humbleness. That's pride. That's not humble to say that I can't do what God called me to do. That's your pride saying that you know better than God. And I don't know about you, but the last one that said that he knew better than God fell. And his name was Lucifer. And I don't think I want to be caught up in the lot that he is. In 1 Samuel 17, 38 through 40, we find David again, been sent down to the battle. We all are very familiar with the story. Very familiar. He's anointed king, sent down to battle. And then we find David in the midst of Saul. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of a backstory. Some of y'all may know this, some of y'all may not. David had already been appointed Saul's armor bearer. But the people around him still didn't believe enough to let him walk it out. They kept putting him back in the field. Some of y'all keep going back to the field after God called you out of it. And so when Saul would be tormented or tantalized by the different things, he would call for David to play the harp. And he would play and Saul would calm down. That tormenting spirit would leave him. And the Bible says in chapter 6 that he became his armor bearer. Now, how are you going to be somebody's armor bearer sitting in a field and then sent to take food and stuff to your brothers in the battle and everybody's still picking on you? They said, you just came down here to look at the fight. You just wanted to look at the battle. You came down here to start trouble, you little troublemaker. Y'all ever been called to do something, anointed to do something, and yet the enemy wants to look at you and say, you just want to stir up trouble. And you're trying to walk it out. And so Saul, not even recognizing his own armor bearer, dumb, looks at him and he says, okay, fine. After David gives him the spiel about how he's killed the bear and killed the lion and that he's going to kill this giant, Saul said, okay, fine. Take this armor. There are going to be times in your life where people look at you and you're going to say, I'm called to be a worship leader. I'm called to be a pastor. I'm called to be this and this and that. And then you bug them about it. You pick at them about it. Teach me, train me. And then they're going to look at you and say, fine, put on my armor. Look like me, smell like me, dress like me, walk like me. You're welcome. Walk like me. Talk this way. wear these clothes, dress a certain way. To be a pastor's wife, you have to sound a certain way. You have to look a certain way. Your house has to be a certain way. You have to decorate a certain way. It is not true. That is a lie, straight from the pit of hell. That it captivates people and keeps them from fulfilling the call of God on their lives. I am not called to be somebody else. You cannot walk in somebody else's armor. And this is what happened. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. That's not letters that you get in the mail, y'all. David fastened his sword to his armor, and he tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So he took it back off. I'm going to tell you right now, there have been times in my life where I have tried to walk out the anointing on me in somebody else's way. God's not called you to walk out your anointing in somebody else's way. He made you unique. Very unique. Lisa Bevere, in her book called Without Rival, said this. She said, God does not love us all the same. Don't get mad. Hang on a second. You can get mad later. It's fine. I don't care. God does not love me and you the same way at all. I do not love my children the same way. I do not love Abby and Eli equally. It's not a thing. I love Elisha in the way that only Elisha can be loved. I loved Abby in a way that only Abby can be loved, in her uniqueness, in her quirkiness. Lord Jesus, that child's quirky. But she's very specifically quirky for a reason, y'all. You're quirky for a reason. You're odd for a reason. You're not supposed to be the same thing. We're not supposed to look alike. Have you ever seen pottery? Each piece of pottery, even though they have the same characteristics, are completely different. Completely different. Each one was uniquely made by hand. Last time I checked, the Bible says that we are handcrafted by God. We are his masterpiece. That means that he took and he formed you the way that he wanted to form you. Amen. He didn't form you so that you could look like T.D. Jakes, Corey. He didn't form you so that you could look like all of these other people. He didn't form you so you'd sound like Joyce Meyer. He didn't form me so that I would be all of these other things. He formed me because he wanted what he deposited in me. He made me the way that he made me because that's what he wanted to anoint and use. And I can't walk this thing out trying to walk in somebody else's armor. I won't get it right. The spirit won't flow and the anointing won't be there. If David had gone to that battlefield in that armor that he had not tested and tried, can I just drop something on you for a second? Some of y'all been tested and tried. Some of y'all have gone through some crap. You've gone through some hell. Get over the fact that I said it. It's true. You've gone through some turmoil. You've been tested. You've been tried. You've walked through fire. And when you laid on that altar last Sunday night, we said, God, let the fire never go out. Let it continually burn all the stuff out of me. You've been through the fire. You've been proofed. Now, if you try to put on something else that you hadn't been proofed in, are you going to be able to walk in that thing that God's birthed in you? Absolutely not. Because you didn't go through the fire that T.D. Jakes went through. You didn't go through the fire that Joyce Meyer's been through. You haven't gone through the fire that Kim Walker's been through. You haven't gone through the fire that Smith Wigglesworth went through, beating his wife, leaving her out on the porch to die in the middle of the winter until God got a hold of that man. You haven't walked through the fires that they've gone through. Yet we want to try to put on their armor and walk and be who they are. Because to be anointed, you have to fit in this little box. That's a load of baloney. You're not called to fit in a box. Y'all, there is no box. God didn't take and mold you like they'd make little Corel cups. He took and he handcrafted you. I am a painting painted by a masterful artist. I have been molded and shaped by his hands. And if I try to put on something that I've not been tested and tried in, I will fail miserably. Do you know why pastors and teachers and worship leaders quit and fail and burn out and can't keep going? Do you know why Christians cannot keep walking? It's because they're trying to put on something that they're not. God's not tried me in the same thing that he's tried you in. At all. Bonnie, if I tried to walk in your anointing, I would fail miserably. No one can do you like you can do you. At all. At all. And so many times we have pastors and teachers and leaders, family members who have this idea of what you're supposed to be or look like or sound like. I've had leaders look at me and say, you have to do X, Y, Z. And every time I tried to fit in that mold, I failed miserably. Because I wasn't called to put on their armor that they proofed through fire, custom formed. Y'all, armor was custom formed. My armor has been custom formed. My helmet of salvation that keeps my head on straight, that protects my brain, was formed around the things that attack my mind. My belt of truth was formed around my wiggly waist because God knew what he'd have to gird me with. He knew exactly what was going to attack me. He knew what kind of shoes I would need to fit my wide foot. He knew it. He knew every single piece of armor. He knew what would attack my heart. So he said, this is what your breastplate will look like. Your breastplate of righteousness and my righteousness that replaced this, this, and this in your life. My this, this, and this does not look the same thing as Sarah's. And we're sisters and we look alike in spirit, but we look nothing alike. Come here. If I try to take those things that God's girded her with and say, Sarah, I respect you and I adore you and I thank God for the anointing on your life. God, I want to be like Sarah. Give me your helmet. Give me your helmet. Let it. Wait a minute. It don't fit on my big old fat head. Why? So if it doesn't fit on my big old fat head, guess what's going to happen? When the things start coming to attack my mind, guess what's going to happen? It's going to hit me and I'm not going to be able to walk. Guess what? Then I fail because I'm trying to use her armor instead of mine. Sarah, give me your breastplate. That's not going to work either. Sarah, you take my breastplate. It's not going to work. Sarah, give me your shoes. Now, the shoes that they would have compared it to are Roman soldiers' shoes that are exactly formed to their leg type to wrap around and gird all the way up. Guess what? I'm a lot shorter than her. If I wear her shoes, I can't walk right. If she wore mine, they wouldn't cover the right places because she's taller than me. God knew what he was doing when he crafted you. You're good. He knew what he was doing. As you've gone through the things that you've gone through, and he's anointed you, and he's called you, and you've been through the fire, and he formed that armor around you. There's a reason why when you're going through things, he can speak to you specific scripture. The one that I would hold on to at night as I clung to my Bible as a teenage girl, petrified of things happening, was Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Now that was the one that I had to cling to so that fear couldn't hit my heart and cripple me. But I can guarantee you that there are other people in this room, and we've had this conversation, where they're not afraid of anything, Wanda. Ain't afraid of nothing. That's not the scripture that she needed to cling to. I am fearfully and wonderfully made in the likeness and the image of God. I am not rejected. I am exactly who God wanted me to be. I was made with a purpose. She would have clinged to that instead of what I had to cling to. What guarded her heart was different than what guarded my heart. Yet we're still convinced that we still have to walk the same way that somebody else did. You're not called to be like them. My sister-in-law, who I love like my daughter, is not called to be me. She don't sound like me. She don't look like me. She don't walk like me. We laugh like each other, but that's about all we got. The same sense of humor. We think the same sometimes. But her walk looks a whole lot different than mine. She's not loud. Hello. Obviously, I am. She doesn't sing loud at all. When I have to turn up her microphone, I have to turn it almost all the way up because y'all won't hear her. She sings like this. Beautiful, soft voice. Haley Joe, beautiful, soft voice. If they tried to act like me, they'd lose their vocal cords. And if I tried to sing like them, no one would hear me. Because I'm not called to be her. And she's not called to be me. And they don't have to walk and look and breathe and act like me to walk in the anointing that God has on their life. Corey, you're not called to look or breathe or smell or quote or look like anybody else but Jesus. Stop trying to fill everything else with who you're supposed to be, like somebody else. You're anointed to be Corey, quirky and weird and bouncy, armed with the word of truth to pierce the dark places. Stop trying to be everybody else and be yourself. You hear me, son? Stop trying to be everybody else. I'm tired of trying to be everybody else and fulfill who I'm supposed to be in somebody else's shoes. That don't even make a lick of sense. Did you know that in the business world that they hire people specifically who think outside of the box that don't want to look like everybody else? That as a business leader, I'm probably more likely to hire somebody who speaks their mind but is kind than somebody who comes in and tells me all the things I want to hear. I have literally turned people down from jobs because they've come in and given me all the right answers. I don't want your right answers. God doesn't want your right answers. He doesn't want to know how much Bible you can quote. He doesn't want to know how loud you can be. He doesn't care about how well you dress. He wants your heart. He wants you to walk in the anointing that he called you to walk in. Period. You're not called to be like them. You cannot do what God's called you to do in somebody else's armor. Go down to verse 40. He says this. He took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag. Stop right there. He chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag. Why a shepherd's bag? Why was that important? Because he was using what God had tried and proofed him in. He was using his anointing to care for and shepherd. The last man they would have chosen for a king was a shepherd who was gentle and watched over some dumb things. Gentleness. Knew how to correct their stupidity. Sheep are dumb, y'all. I heard a pastor say once, who was that? Was that our pastor? Could have been. Who said, sheep are stupid, but God called me a sheep. I didn't say it. He did. And he chose a shepherd to be king. Red-headed, sunburned, smelled funny, wouldn't wear the right armor, wouldn't dress how they wanted him to dress, didn't talk how they wanted him to talk. There was one part in the Bible where he began to prophesy and act like a fool in front of another king. And guess what? That saved his whole country. His whole nation was saved because the guy got up and acted like an idiot. That's all I got. The guy got up and acted like an idiot. Walking in his own anointing, in his weird little backwards ways that he learned on the back of a field, discounted, thrown out, reaches down, grabs 5 smooth stones, put them in a shepherd's bag. And what he had tried and what he had proved and the tools that he knew how to use, his sling was in his hand and he drew near the battle. We know how the story ends. We know how it ends. He kills him. Takes his head, parades it around Israel. is called before the king when the king finally realizes who he is after he decided to walk in his own anointing. The king realizes who he is, and at that point on, he never went back to the house of Jesse. Yet the king still hated him. It's another story for another day. Still hated him. Sometimes when you walk in your anointing and your calling, y'all, don't think that it's going to be roses and sunshine with no thorns. There are going to be people that hate you. Guess what? It don't matter. It's time we get to the point where we don't care what they say. Diane, I don't care if they think my piano playing stinks. If God told me to do it, I'm going to keep doing it. I don't care if they think you're too loud. If God's anointed you to play the drums, you play the drums. I don't care if I walk around barefoot and people think I'm weird. If God's anointed me to be barefoot and give him everything that I've got, I'm going to keep doing it because he's anointed me for a purpose. And sometimes people are not going to like it when you decide that I'm going to walk in the anointing that he called me to. I'm not putting on your armor. I can't walk in the way that Beth's called to walk. Beth can't walk in the place that I'm called to walk, and I can't put on her armor. She's a lot smaller than me. It's not going to cover me in the right places. I'm going to be who God made me to be, whether you like it or not. Because I can't fully function in the anointing and the calling and the gifting that he has for my life if I don't decide I'm breaking the mold. There were people in the Bible who gave excuses. Some of you are tied up because of what other people think about you. Some of you are tied up because you're trying to be like somebody else. Some of y'all are tied up because you can't stop making excuses. Jeremiah said this, I can't because I'm too young. His exact words to God were, "Ah, Lord God, I can't speak because I am a youth." Teenagers, stop making excuses. God has called you and he has anointed you. His spirit is on you, and I've seen it with my own eyes when he pours out on you, and I've seen you move into the things that God has for your life. Stop making excuses that you're too young to do what God called you to do. Get up off your lazy duff and do it. Stop saying that I'll do it when I'm 30 years old. You may not make it a 30-year-old, honey. And what are you going to do when your friends at school die? What are you going to do when the friends that you have at school look at you and they've committed suicide? And you're sitting in your chair at 32 years old going through your class roster and you realize all of the people that God put in my path that I could have ministered to out of the anointing that I had at 14 years old and 15 years old, 16 and 17 years old, they died prematurely because I refused to walk in the anointing that I was called to because I was afraid of what they would think because I was too young. Stop making the excuses. Stop making the excuses. We are living in the day and age that Joel prophesied about. Yes. That in the last days I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Yes. On 14-year-old flesh, 15-year-old flesh, 8-year-old flesh. It doesn't matter. 112. All flesh. And yet we're making excuses why we can't do it. Right. We're making the excuses of why I can't. I didn't want to step in the bucket, God, because I'm not qualified to step in that bucket. Who qualifies you? Do you qualify yourself? Do I qualify myself? Do I say that I'm a good enough person to stand up before you and give you the words that God said? Absolutely not. If I could qualify myself, I'd be disqualified right now. You don't qualify yourself. God does not call those who are equipped. He equips those that he's called. And I have every ability that when he puts the anointing before me and says, you have the ability to step in and walk into it, that I can step in and walk into it just as he said. Unless you're too prideful not to. Stop making that excuse. Moses, ding dong, said this, I can't speak for the people. I stutter too much. Half of that was on purpose. Half of it wasn't because I actually stutter. I stutter too much. I have dyslexia. I have ADHD, God. They're not going to be able to follow me. When the Spirit of God comes upon you, you're going to be able to walk in a way and talk in a way that you couldn't do before, because he replaces everything that you were. The Bible says this, that we are dead to the world and crucified with Christ. What does that mean? That when I put on Jesus Christ, everything that I was before died. Died. And when I put him on, like I've put on this jacket this morning, I can walk in a place where I couldn't walk. I can talk in a way that I couldn't talk. And everything about me begins to change, because I am no longer just weird old pink-haired Anna Harris, barefooted and funky. I am anointed, and I am called, and I am covered in the Spirit of God, and I can do things on a level that the world is not familiar with, that I was not familiar with, that the world inside of me was not familiar with, because I refuse to stay in the place where I was, and I am going to walk in the anointing that's on my life. You're making excuses. I can't because. Knock it off. God don't care about no stinking excuses. Every time somebody gave him an excuse, he knocked it back down. Moses, I can't talk because I'm not well of speech. I stutter. I don't care, Moses. Do what I called you to do. You hear where he corrected him multiple times. David, he was a murderer. He slept with somebody's husband, or somebody's wife. Sorry. Slept with somebody's wife. That was a big boo-boo. Remember that dyslexia thing we were talking about? Slept with somebody's wife. Had the husband killed. Yet, he was still after God's heart. An adulterer, not good enough, but wrote 90% of the Psalms, saying things like, the mountains melt like wax before you. The oceans tremble and billow at your name. Things that I can only dream of, being able to sing about the one in whom I love. Things that we could only begin to dream about. And because he was hard after who God was, spent the time in the field, discarded, like junk, redheaded and funky. Out in the field, stunk. Spent that time getting to know who he was, who God was. And because he was able to identify who God was, that's when he had all the confidence in who God made him. That even when they were charging after him to kill him, he was still able to encourage himself in the Lord. Why? Because he was tested and tried in the armor that he had. And he was able to walk in it with every confidence, not out of his own ability. And you can see that over and over again, but because of who God in him was, and who went before him, and who stood behind him, and who surrounded him. You think you can't do it? You can't. Elizabeth, you can't lead worship. Neither can I. But the Spirit of God that's alive in you, that breathes life, takes your I can't, erases it, covers it with his supernatural ability, and takes you to a place that you never thought possible. Some of y'all in here making excuses because you're older. Knock it off. Knock it off. God called you when you were young. Yep. You're not dead yet. You're still supposed to be doing something. You're just sitting around doing nothing, thinking that God's discounted you because you're old. Suck it up, buttercup. You ain't too old. They ain't too young, and you ain't too old. Get off your butt and start doing what God called you to do. There was no end to his call on your life. There was no retirement age. You may stop working for a time, but until the day that Jesus comes back, he's not done with you. The last time I checked, the Bible says what? He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it until the day of Christ's return. That means that he is still doing it. He is still working in it. He is still moving things. He is still changing things. He's still calling you. He's still moving things out of the way. Stop making excuses. We've thrown around anointing like confetti and only a couple people have grabbed a hold of it, because the rest of us are too scared to move in it. And then there are those of us who have grabbed a hold of it and too afraid to walk in it. And then there are those of us who have grabbed a hold of it, decided that I want to walk in it, and then took off the other way because they didn't know what to do with it. Because they think that it's got to be packaged a certain way. It's got to smell a certain way. It's got to feel a certain way. Y'all, stop making excuses. Get out of the field and let God move in you and through you, because he's anointed you. We've talked about it time and time and time and time and time again. God is getting ready to turn this place upside down. Completely upside down. It's your decision if you're going to walk in your anointing. It's your decision if you're going to wear your armor. Or if you want to think that there's still a mold out there. I serve a God who breaks the mold. Amen. For far too long, we've thought that ministry looks a certain way. I'm not a minister. I work 40 hours a week. Hey, guess what? Would y'all say that I would be a minister? I'm ministering the gospel, right? I work 40 hours a week, y'all. And guess what? Sometimes during my job, I minister who Jesus is, his healing. Sometimes by never even speaking his name. God's anointed you for ministry. That doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be standing on a platform saying, turn in your Bibles with me. Are you walking your anointing out? Pastor Brian spoke on it the other day. You walking your anointing out? Are you willing to be tried through fire? Are you willing to break the mold? You ever seen somebody try to stuff something on that don't fit them? It's uncomfortable. Or you try to put on a pair of jeans that just don't fit you anymore? That's a terrible idea. Or you do put them on and then it's hard to wear them all day long and you're uncomfortable and you're crabby. Because God's not called you to look like that. It's your decision. Are you going to walk in what he's called you to walk in? Here's the truth of the matter. And you don't have to turn here. But Isaiah 10:27 says this, that the anointing breaks the yoke. Do you know what a yoke is? A yoke is something that imposes bondage on something to force the animal to do a certain thing. Y'all ain't getting it. A yoke is something that they wrap around an ox to force that ox to look and perform a certain way. The last I checked, we're not called to look or perform a certain way. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to come over here. You're not called to look or perform a certain way. And the anointing breaks the yoke. The anointing breaks the yoke. The anointing breaks the mold. It breaks it. It shatters it. Destroys it. So that thing that forced you to try to fit into a certain box, it's not there anymore. You don't have to look or sound or smell a certain way to walk in the anointing that God has on your life. Just walk. Stop making excuses why you can't do it. Put one foot in front of the other and say, God, I trust you. I've been tried. I've been fired. I've gone through, and I trust you. And walk in the anointing that's on your life and see if the way that things are around you won't change and shift. See if it won't be not difficult anymore to begin to share about Jesus. I hear so many times, it's so hard for me to talk about. I don't know about y'all, but it's not very hard for me to talk about the one who set me free. It's not very hard for me to talk about how I used to be, about how I used to drink, about how it wasn't just, you know, the soft stuff that most girls start out in. It was hard. It's not hard for me to talk about that. Why? Because I was fired and tried in that. And that's who I was. And that's when God began to change and mold in me the things that he wanted me to be so that he could set me on fire, burn out the old, and put in who he is. And it's your decision right now if you want to decide that you're going to walk in a mold that you don't fit in, uncomfortable, can't do anything right, will never accomplish anything for the kingdom, or if you want to break the mold wide open and walk in the anointing and the gifting that he's given you. Because the anointing breaks the mold. You cannot walk in anointing and walk surrounded by that mold. It's not going to happen. You will never fully carry out what God's put in your life if you try to do that. Never. Ever. I will never fully carry out the anointing and the mantle that he has on me if I try to walk it out formed to something that I'm not. It will never happen. Never, ever happen. It is the anointing that breaks the box that has bound you. It is the anointing that breaks the box that has held you, that has imposed its own will on you. The anointing. The pouring of the Spirit of God on you. Well, Pastor Anna, but when they poured the oil on me, I felt incredible. And I went for a couple days and it was great. And then I walked in that water and that was really good too. And then I laid before in the fire and I got up and I cried a lot, but I went home and the next day, man, it was just different. But a couple days later, I felt a little bit more different. Why? Why can't? Because you're not staying in it. Because you're not staying in the flow. The anointing is the pouring on. To stay and walk in that. When the oil shattered your box. I don't know if you've ever tried to, if you have a ring and your finger's too fat for your ring, trying to get it off and you can't. What do? Oil. And it comes right off. When you stay under the flow of the anointing in your word, in worship, by yourself, not with some stupid CD or somebody singing over you. It's got to flow up out of your belly. You've got to know for yourself who God is. Stop trying to get everybody else to worship for you. That's how you stay in the flow. Prayer in his face every morning. What? Starting to sound like the high five challenge. Get in his face. Worship him. Get in the word. Walk it out. And as you begin to walk, it's like you're walking under a continual faucet. And the anointing never goes away. Do you know why? Do you know why in Revelation the 10 virgins and 5 had oil and 5 didn't? Because some of them probably only got oil when they felt like it was necessary, and some of them stayed in it. Are you going to stay in it? Because it'll keep the box off of you. You won't be tempted to be somebody you're not. Are you going to stay in it? It'll keep you free. It'll keep you completely free. It's your choice. We can choose to make the excuses. We can choose to stay in the field. We could choose to be in a box that we don't belong in. We could choose to only get some of it when it's convenient. Or we can choose to break the mold and walk in the flow of who he is all the time. Smith Wigglesworth walked past people and they were healed in his shadow for one reason and one reason only. He lived in the anointing. There's a place where you can be and it can come on you, or you can live in it. If you live in it, things won't affect you like they used to, y'all. It's not going to hit you like it used to. They can talk about you. Guess what? It's not going to hit your heart. You know why? It's like water off a duck's back. That anointing that covers every single place and part of your life covers all of the openings that used to be vulnerable. Yeah. He's got you covered. You're in this house this morning for a reason, for a purpose. Some of you have made the excuses. Some of you have listened to what other people have said about you, around you, and discounted you. And you've allowed that to define whether or not you can walk in the flow of the anointing. And some of you are too scared to even get out of the field. Some of you are too afraid of what's going to happen to your life if you decide to walk in the anointing that you're called to. Because everything will change and you know it. But if you're in this house this morning and you say, yep, I find myself trying to fit in a box that I don't belong in, or I'm stuck in the field, I'm going to open the altar up for a few moments. And I'm going to allow you to come before God yourself. God, break the box. As I'm standing here, I'm reminded of something very specific. There was a woman that was set free from demons who had a very expensive box that held oil back. And she came and she anointed Jesus. And as the box was broken, the anointing was released. Let him break the box and release the oil in your life. What happened next? Something had to die. The price had to be paid. The price is already paid. But there are parts of your life that need to be crucified with Christ so that you can walk in the fullness of life that he's given. If that's you this morning, any one of those things, or you just need prayer this morning, the altar's open. This is not something that I can do for you. I can't lay my hands on you and break your mindset of the box. This has to be a decision that you have to make. God, I want you to break the box that I'm trying to shove myself into, that other people have tried to shove me into. God, pull me out of the field, break the box, and pour on me your anointing, that I walk in it every single day. If that's you this morning, the altar is open. I want you to come right now and allow him to minister to your heart.